10 and 11. Would you stand one last time as we go to these, we find these scriptures. We're going to go to the book of John. It's in the New Testament. Man, you find it, say amen. It'll be on the screen, but I like when you have it in front of you. That way you can follow along and not get lost in the translation or in the different versions that we have. This is Jesus talking to a woman. It might be titled there in your Bible, the adulterous woman. But this is Jesus talking to this woman. He tells her, verse 10, straighten up, Jesus says to her. Woman, where are they? Where are those that condemn you? Verse 11. And she replied, or she said, no one, Lord, no one condemns me. And Jesus said to her, I don't condemn you either. Go from this place and sin no more. Father, we pray for your word, pray for your message that it penetrate into our hearts, into our spirits, Lord, that may we receive everything that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may take your seats, but hold your Bibles there. John chapter 8, we're going to be going back to these verses. There is a word or a phrase that is said here in John that Jesus says to this woman. Now, I love the book of John. John is the beloved. John, when we speak of the book of John, it really gives us through his lenses or his perspective. When John writes the gospel of John, John is the beloved, the one that was close to Jesus. So we get the main thesis or the underlining theme of the song of the book is love. And most of the book of John expresses how God loves us. We get the big famous verse, John 3:16. It's in the book of John, for God so loved the world. So when we want to experience God's love, we read the book of John. And I've even told friends or new converts, Pastor, where do I start the Bible? What can I read? What's an easy read so I could get to know more about the Bible? And I always refer new converts to the book of John. It's an easy read. And you right away start seeing how Jesus loves us. And through John's writings, we see how he explains that love to us. It's in a very special love. So as we unveil this story, John chapter 8, when Jesus had gone out of the Mount of Olives, notice something, verse 2. Early in the morning, he came into the temple. Just want that to sit in for a little bit. let me read that again. Early in the morning, Jesus came to church. I'm going to stay there a little bit longer. Let that marinate. And the people were coming, and Jesus began to teach them. Now, this is the beginning of the chapter. Notice something in the ministry of Jesus. A lot of the ministry of Jesus, we see discourse, then we see manifestations or miracles. In other words, Jesus would teach. Jesus would give a lesson, then he would create miracles. He will create a miracle. We will see a miracle, then he will explain it. And that's what he begins to do here. And some of the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman that was caught in adultery. And having set her in the center of the court, notice something. The scribes and religious leaders, they bring this woman and pretty much just throw her in the temple. They throw her in the center of the court and say, Jesus, we caught this woman in the act of adultery. Now, what are you going to do? We know what the law of Moses said, but we want to know what you say. Jesus, we want you to know, explain to us. How are you going to resolve this problem? And that takes me to the verse that we read, or the opening verse. When Jesus says, woman, no one condemns you. I want to stay with that phrase there, because when Jesus declares that, woman, where are the people that condemn you? Where are they? No one condemns you. The moment Jesus says, where are those that condemn you? They're gone. No one condemns you. Go and sin no more. The moment Jesus declares that, when he cancels the word condemn or condemnation, there is a release. That's what I love about Jesus. Every time he said something, something had to happen. Notice, he tells this woman, you are no longer condemned. There is no condemnation. There is no negative pressure over you. There is no bondage. There is no negative word. Everything that you've gone through, I release you from all the bondage and everything that's come your way or that has happened in your life. She is released from condemnation. I want to say that this morning. No matter what you've gone through, what your past says, what has happened in your life, you are free today to worship him. You know, when we were singing the songs, I believe you're my healer. We were singing, let the church arise. All these songs that we were singing, you know what? You know why we could raise our hands and sing unto the Lord and worship him? Because we're free to worship him. Matter of fact, God expects our worship. God is longing for us to worship him. And when you worship him, there is a freedom. That's the first thing the devil tries to do every Sunday morning. Every time you walk into church, he tries to condemn you and say, what are you doing singing that song? Who do you think you are? You're going to come in here and clap your hands and raise your hands and, you know, and make the movements? We know what you did last night. We know what has happened this week. We know that you got into a fight on the way up here and you were arguing in the car. And the moment you start seeking, or the moment you start wanting to worship God, the enemy begins to condemn you and says, that's not for you. Let somebody else worship. Let somebody else do it. And condemnation sits in. And then we'll say, well, yeah, that's right. You know, I did cop an attitude with my wife this morning. I did hit that kid. You know, my children were getting on my nerves, and I hit them, and I feel bad right now. And, you know, that person at Walmart, you know, I was going to park right there, and they cut in. You know, Walmart's always full, so they took my parking space. And, you know, I didn't say it, Pastor. I didn't say it, but I thought it. I know what I wanted to tell them. But, you know, and then the devil starts putting these words and pictures in your mind, and then next thing you know, you can't worship the song. We're singing, you're my healer, and you know you need healing, but you can't do it because condemnation sets in. And this is literally what happens when Jesus deals with this woman and says, woman, you are free from all condemnation, from the pressure, from the thing that keeps pushing you down, the thing that keeps trying to take you back, all condemnation, everything that is trying to set you back, I set you free from that this morning in Jesus' name. Got a couple of points here, and then we'll be done. But I wanted to take you to that because, listen to me, family, friends, listen to me, church, you are free to worship God this morning. You are free to receive whatever God has for you this morning. You're free to receive. No matter what the devil has said to you, you receive it in the name of Jesus. If you're praying for healing, restoration, if you're praying for someone in your family, you say, God, I receive that word. I take that word. That's for me. I receive that rhema word, God. And I know that this morning you're speaking to me, and I receive it. And I cancel the thoughts of the enemy, and I receive the message that you have for me. There's a freedom. And Jesus deals with this woman. Now, notice what's happening. I have 4 points here. And then I think it's TNT. Is it TNT that says, we know drama? I think it's TNT or one of those stations. Jesus knows drama. There's always drama in church. I don't want to go there too far, but there's always drama. There's always drama in the house. There's always drama somewhere, you know, by drama. We got drama. Everybody got drama. Drama in the church. Did you see what we just read? These leaders come and they just grab this lady and just whoof, throw her right in front of Jesus. Whoof. Point number one. They strip her of her dignity. They strip her of her value. They grab this woman and just throw her right there in the front of everybody. We caught this woman in adultery. We caught this woman in the act. This woman is guilty. We have video evidence that this woman is guilty. And they throw this woman in front of Jesus in the church. Now, I understand when we got drama up there, out there, or at work, or, you know, outside the church. But this is happening in the church. That's when you know you messed up. That's when you know you're like, oh, this church needs help. But Jesus is the pastor. Jesus is at church. So if it happens to Jesus, it's going to happen to all of us. And Jesus sees this woman and watch the reaction of the church people or what's of that church service. Jesus is teaching in the middle of his Sunday school lesson, in the middle of his discourse, in the middle of his lesson. This great interruption, they throw this woman in front of him and say, Jesus, we caught this woman in the act of adultery. She is a sinner. She is pagan. What are you going to do? How are you going to deal with this situation, Jesus? Because the law of Moses says to stone her. Number one, what do you do when life strips you? When experiences strip you? When people strip you of your dignity, of your self-worth? Now, this is not happening out there. This is happening in church. What do you do when life strips you of everything you ever loved? Not only was she stripped of everything that she had, but now she stands in front of her accusers. And notice, they bring the woman, but they don't bring the man. Somebody say, ouch. See, sometimes people just want to see what they want to see. Sometimes people just want to criticize what they want to criticize. Sometimes people got to say just what they want to say. Notice, they grab this woman and they throw her in the middle of the service. And all the people that are talking are the Pharisees and the scribes. She's not talking. Have you ever been in a situation where you can't tell your side of the story? Have you ever been in a situation when everybody else is talking, everybody else has a comment, everybody else is saying something, but you're like, let me say something. Let me defend myself. And they don't let her talk. They strip her and they throw her in front of Jesus. Now, I know this has not happened to none of y'all. It's happened to me because I need help. You pray for your pastor. You'll pray for me because I need a lot of help. But sometimes we just want people to hear our side of the story. Sometimes, you know, as a pastor, I'm always in front of people. I'm always in front of the crowd. I'm always in front of individuals. And everybody has something to say. But sometimes there's things that are being said and you're like, oh, I didn't even like that. That's not what I said. That's not what I meant. That's not what I was trying to tell you. And everybody has a comment and an opinion of something that's happening. And you're like, just give me a chance to say it so I can clear things out. Have you ever been there? You know, I saw something on Facebook. It wasn't true. I was like, that ain't right. That just ain't right. So, man, I start typing, and that just ain't right. Spell check, because I got to make sure I tell it right. And I had it all explained. I was like, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to fix this. It ain't right, people. Because if it's on Facebook, people think that's the gospel. It's got to be true. It's got to be true. It's on Facebook. So I'm there typing, Jesus help me. I typed this whole dissertation, big old thesis of why this ain't right. And right before I'm about to push in, the Holy Ghost gets a hold of me. And says, what are you doing? And not lying, I got out of my chair, went to the restroom, walked around, ate something, just like, the God said, don't do it. And for 1 hour, that big old thing was right there on my computer. For 1 hour! I was like, I'm just gonna push send so I could clear this thing out so people could understand that ain't right. And for 1 hour, the Holy Ghost got a hold of me and said, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. So I had to go and erase that whole thing after 1 hour. We're stubborn sometimes. We don't want to listen. But Holy Ghost, you know this ain't right. I can fix this. All it takes is 1 word and I'll fix this whole situation. People will know where I stand. And God said, let it go. Have you ever been there? Thank you. So under heavy conviction, I had to go back and delete that message and not push send. Hit your neighbor and tell him, don't push send. Come on, tell him. Just don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. The Holy Ghost will speak for you. God will speak for you. God will say something. You don't ever have to defend yourself. You are a child of God. You are a daughter of God. You are the church of Jesus Christ. God will fight your battles. You don't have to fight your own battles. God will stand up for His children. How many say amen? God will vindicate you. God will stand up for you. But this wasn't the case yet of this woman. Number one, she was stripped of everything. And when you're stripped of everything, you want to fight for yourself. But don't do it. God will fight for you. Number two, the Bible says that when she was in front of these people, they told her, we caught her in the act of adultery. Number two, when life strips you, when life stains you, that's when God steps in. They said, we busted her. We know this is true. Now, I don't know about you, but Some of us have friends. Some of us know people. Maybe I don't. When somebody tells you, yeah, you're at church now, but I remember when you did this. Yeah, you're sitting here today and you're here right now and you're singing, Lord, I believe you're my healer, and you're singing, está llorando, and you're receiving. And yeah, well, what about that time back in 1980 when this happened to you? And what happens many times when you try to progress, when you try to change, when you try to move on, the enemy begins to, remember we're speaking of condemnation, begin to bring your past to mind and says, ah, now you want to move on. Now you're saying you're Christian. Now you want to go to church. But there's some stains in your past. And condemnation would always bring your past when God is giving you your future. Notice, they told her, we caught her. She is stained. She's guilty. She's a sinner. Let me tell you something. If you got mistakes, if you made mistakes, if you sinned, and if you've gone through different things in life, let me tell you something. We serve a Jesus that takes away the stains. A Jesus that washes us as white as snow. We serve a God that makes us free and has set us free. How many know what I'm talking about? Today, your sin was cast from the, as far as from the east and from the west, and you're free today. That's why we said, you can raise up your hands, you can sing the songs, you can worship Him, because Jesus has set you free. You're no longer condemned. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, how many praise Him this morning that God has set you free. No matter what the devil said, no matter what happened last year and in the past or even last night, you can stand in this place and say, God, my soul worships you. My soul longs for you. You can worship Him in liberty today because Jesus has the power to set you free and clean you of all your stains. In your past. I put on here, stained in pain. See, the devil uses your stains, but God uses your pain. A.W. Tozer said this, those that are greatly wounded will be greatly used. Those that bear great pain or they go through different things, difficult things. Those that are greatly wounded are greatly used. Pain is a schoolmaster. Pain is a teacher. Pain is a tutor. Maybe you're thinking, well, I'm in pain now, Pastor. I just went through this thing. I just lost a job. They just cut my hours. I just lost a family member. I just went through this bad experience. Pastor, I just got this bad report from the doctor. Pastor, I'm carrying pain right now. Whatever pain you're going through, God will use it. I heard something this morning when I was getting ready to come to church. God uses everything. God uses every day. God uses every minute. God doesn't throw away nothing. Even if you're going through pain right now, God will use that. I was hearing Sister Michaela, she's not here, she's at Orlando, they're taking the youth. But there was one girl at getting ready for camp, she just started letting herself out, saying, you know, I've been coming to girls' ministry, Sister Layla, she said, I've been coming to girls' ministry, and my mom drops me off, and I'm here, and I come to this church, because my parents don't want to come to church on Sunday, but I get dropped off here at church. And I come here, and my mom drops me off, and Sister Michaela, that ain't right. That ain't right that I'm trying to serve God. I'm only 13. I'm only 14. That ain't right. I'm carrying this big old burden for my family, and my parents don't want to come to church. My parents don't want to do with God. It ain't right that I'm carrying all this pain, and God is not listening to me.
Let me finish with this. Point number three, stripped, stained, stoned. They wanted to stone her. Notice the law said, we need to stone her. We need to kill her. That's what Moses would have done. That's the law. But, good example. Just like they threw that woman in front of Jesus, somebody else just threw himself right here in front of us, in the middle of a service. And you know, God may be speaking to us as a church, saying, this is what I want y'all to do. Why do I have you here at 9:30 in the morning? Because there's people that are crying and hurting. And that's why we should be at church every day. So we could get something in us so we could take it out there. How can you give something you don't have? How can you sleep all day Sunday? How can you miss church and say, I'm ready to win the world? You've got to have something in you so you could give something. I finished by saying they wanted to stone her. That's what the law said. You know, we're good at that, especially if you grew up in church, you've been in church for a long time. It's easy to stone people, to say, oh, I see Lance right there. Lance got some mistakes. Wakala, I'm going to hit him with this stone. Oh, that brother back there, I know that brother there. That brother's struggling with something. Wah! And we're easy to throw stones. But watch what Jesus does. Jesus says, the law of Moses condemns you to stone us. But Jesus does one thing. He doesn't stone her. I think it's verse 5. The Bible says he stooped down and started writing on the sand. When the law said stone her, Jesus stooped down. This might be a little silly, or a silly illustration, but just this week, I was taking care of, my wife was at camp, so I was taking care of the dog, and the dog, I opened the door, I was at my parents' house. She takes care of a little boy named Gerardo, and when I opened the door, my dog, Churro, runs out, and when he runs out, you know, I don't know if your dog does that, but my dog's demon-possessed, and so the dog runs out, and the cars are coming. So I scream at the dog, hey, Churro, come back! And I'm yelling, and all I want to do is grab him and hit him. To say, that's not what we do in the El Faro household. We don't run out into the street. And the dog runs out, and the dog gets scared, and he's scared at me because I'm yelling, and he's scared because the cars are honking, and ah! So the little boy that was with me, when I go, I'm ready to go spank the little puppy. Just spank him, just boop, you know, how you're supposed to do it before you get arrested. Just to let them know I'm there, and I didn't like that. I was going to spank him. You know, and little Gerardo goes and hugs him. And it's going to be okay, puppy. It's going to be okay. When I wanted to stone him, Gerardo showed me how to stoop down and love on him. The little dog was pacing, and you know, his little heart was pounding. And that little boy taught me, it's not time for stoning, but for stooping down and loving on him. That may be a little silly, but that's exactly what the church needs. That's exactly what we need today. It's easy to stone people, people that have hurt us, people that have let us down, but things that happen, church drama. It's easy to stone, but church, we need of the anointing, and a fresh anointing of stooping, of coming down. Of saying, you know what, you're hurting right now. I shouldn't talk about your faults. You just need a hug. I just need to stand with you. Don't stone, church. Learn how to stoop down. I believe that's a word for us today. I finish by lastly, the last thing, or the last S that we have is Jesus schooled him. Jesus asked her, who condemns you? She says, no one. Notice when Jesus stooped down, Jesus begins to write on the sand or on the dirt. And all of a sudden, you could read it. Jesus tells them, whoever has not sinned, cast the first stone. Whoever has not sinned, throw the rock. Jesus schools them. Jesus tells them, teaches them, remember, discourse, miracle. If you have no sin, throw it. They have their rocks in their hand. And when Jesus stoops down, he starts writing on the dirt. Now, commentaries, theologians don't know what he wrote, but this is my rendition. He probably stooped down and said, looked at one and said, okay, you got that big old stone in your hand. You're ready to throw it. You? Liar. How do you spell liar? Looked at another one with a big old rock ready to throw it. I'm going to hit her. I'm going to get her good. Looked at her and said, gossiper. How do you spell gossiper? Fornicator.
at the club last night. Don't clean the room. I know what you have in your fridge right now. I know the cell phone pics that you have and the music you're listening to. How do you spell to? So when the crowd starts seeing this, they start letting go of the stones. Would you stand with me? There's no way I could finish. I jumped in. We have another situation. We have another service right now. Our preacher's here. Habakkuk, would you help me? I'm going to end with this. Maybe I'll finish this later. I have much more to say. But this morning, the Lord put it in my heart. I don't know. I'm going to go back to that point number three. We don't need to all be schooled. We know what we need to do. Less stones, more stooping. What does stooping mean in this vernacular, in the church setting? It's more prayer. More humbling ourselves. More time saying, I'm sorry. Stop saying, I told you so, and learn how to say, I'm sorry. See, if they would have done it my way, if they would have done what I told them to do, those are stones. Te dije. I told you that they were like that. I told you they're going to walk out on you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to hurt you. And you're good at saying, I told you so. But you need an anointing of, I'm sorry. Of stooping down. I used to tell the guys in my dorm. I was a dorm pastor. I would oversee the guys' dorm. And I would tell the guys, hey, how do you expect to get behind a pulpit, lead worship, preach a sermon, and tell people to do something when we know how you live in the dorm? You want to tell everybody to sing and raise their hands when you're out here cussing? When you don't even get up to go to chapel, you don't go to class, you don't study, you're flunking all your classes, and you want to stand up there and say, I'm anointed, do what I say? Stoop down. Say, hey, know what it is to say, you know what? Honey, maybe you are right. Man, I always get my way. Matter of fact, some of you have already decided. You've asked your wife, we're going to go eat. She said, well, I want to go over here. Well, I want to go over here. Oh, I'm Mexican. Well, I want Italian. You are. Let her win. Let her win. Right now, you're just like Pastor. You're on Facebook. I'm going to tell them right now. I'm going to straighten this out, and they shouldn't be saying that about me. Humble yourself. You want to tell somebody off when God's saying, drop the stone, stoop down. Because it's been a while since I've seen you come to the altars. It's been a while since you prayed in the morning. It's been a while you haven't fasted. It's been a while since you lifted up your hands and worshiped me. It's been a while since you have an encounter with me. It's been a while since you stooped down. You've been before me. I'm going to stay there. Would you raise your hands and say with me, say, Jesus, I humble myself. I have a lot of plans. I have a lot of ideas. I have a lot of opinions. I have a lot of stones. But I choose today to stoop down. I humble myself. Forgive me if I failed you, someone, something. I stoop down. I bow down. Worship team, hurry. Just finish with this song. I believe you're my healer. The Lord saying, if you stoop down, I will heal you. If you stoop down, I will restore you. If you stoop down, if you try again, if you come before me, if you humble yourself, I will do what I promised you. I will do everything that I've showed you by dreams, by visions. I'm going to do what I promised you. That prophetic word I have over your life, I'm going to be faithful to it. But just stoop down. Just worship me. Just lift up your hands. Just come before me. Just break down. Just cry. Just tell me, God, touch me, Lord. I humble myself. I say, try again. Heal me today, Lord. I stoop down before your presence, Lord. And I say yes to you. I say yes to you, God. Oh, God. Heal.